Hello, hello. All right, this is no secret. This one is pre-recorded. So, from a roundup of questions, and let me just tell you that based on your questions, it was like you're trying to stump me. So the challenge is that you're not here. I can't go back and forth with you. The advantage is that you're not here and I can't go back and forth with you. So, I'm going to do the best I can and troubleshoot with you while you're not here. So these are about, I'm going to try to get through at least six, and we'll keep this one fairly short because there isn't back and forth. That is one advantage for you. And then also realize the very next recording, I will also be gone both times for travel to and from a Flipping 50 retreat. So all for a good reason. So here you go. Number one, the first question I've got here is I've been strength training consistently for almost 6 months, two different stronger programs, starting with three, moving on to four, but I'm not seeing changes in my body composition. How do I know if I need to eat more, train harder, or recover better? Dot, dot, dot. Okay. So let's do two things. We have two pieces of content that will help you self-assess, and I'm going to walk you through the second one as it does require a little bit more from me. But the very first one is on the Flipping 50 site. So here in this case, not in the app. So if you're in the Stronger program, you have access to this. If you're in the membership, you still have access to things and assets on the Flipping 50 site. But when you log in and you go to My Progress, so you're tracking your progress, we have two different types of things. So, one, in the first, you're measuring your weight, your body composition, that is percent body fat, your skeletal muscle mass, ideally, if you know it. What is left over after fat? You can do the math, is fat-free mass, but that is everything. That is bone, it is muscle, it is striated muscle, like around your in your intestines, and it's your internal organs, so it's everything. Much better if we can manage skeletal muscle mass because that's what you and I can manipulate with resistance training. Tracking that, but the other one we have, we call it my wellness score, and that asks you a series of questions about your energy, your libido, your digestion, elimination, your sleep scores, and your mental focus and cognition. And all of those things can really point us to what's going on. And the easy way to look at it as at a glance is all your scores ideally are threes and fours. That means we're going in the right direction. I feel pretty good. Fours, I can't imagine feeling better, even though sometimes that's true. We can't imagine it, but we could feel better. But zero and one are problems. Two is on the fence, and I want to move you over into let's be moving toward a score. So if you are at zero or ones or even a two in any of those areas, or you have a category where there's a lot of them in that area, that might tell us one thing or another. So if you're not seeing changes in body composition, one of two things. Do you need to lose fat and can you stand to gain muscle? The other question I would ask you is, are you getting stronger? Have you noticed that maybe you started lifting with 10 pounds on a chest press and now you need 15s? Are you seeing those kinds of changes? Or if not a change in the weight, no increase there, you can get more reps easily, or you end a set feeling like that was much easier when I first started. And you might have seen both of those things. At first, you couldn't lift one very much, then you could. Now you're also getting more reps with a higher weight. That's all saying you're changing not the muscle mass, you're not increasing it, but the quality of that muscle is increasing. So you are making progress. Seeing them in terms of body composition tells me by you using those words you're talking about, the reading that your bioimpedance or SMART scale is giving you. And I'm hoping that's true and I'm spot on there. But most people otherwise would say, I'm not losing inches or I'm not losing weight or my clothes don't feel any better. And you would using different kinds of words. So You may need to stay the course. Maybe you didn't have that far to go. And if that's true, it will take longer for you to see change. Stay the course, change things a little bit. And I would go back to how is your energy, how's your sleep, your libido, your digestion, elimination, focus. And if any of those are waning, that's where you probably need some time and energy. If you're inside the membership, and I don't know from the question if you're from Stronger or you're inside the membership, if you are inside of the membership, you have access to the Metabolism Makeover 2.0. And I would suggest you go through that. In the first week or two, the first couple of modules are all about tracking and finding out where are you as far as intake goes. And then I ask you to match that with something called caloriecalculator.net. And this is an average. It's not perfect. It's not absolute. But if you can go in there and look at, for me, a female at my age, my height, weight, body composition, if you know it, but height and weight is fine, and your activity level, it will give you a projection of your resting metabolic rate and your activity level, your nutrition intake, if you want it to maintain. So it is going to give you another number of calories. Now realize, please, that this is imperfect because we didn't actually measure you. We didn't actually measure you in a chamber to say, what's your resting metabolism? And it's, a little uncomfortable to do that. So we can't necessarily do that completely accurately, but we get close in many ways. This is one. And then look at what are you eating on a regular basis and do it in this order. Track what you're doing, find your average intake. You can do that on an app or you can do it on pencil and paper and math. And when you know, here's what I should for a woman in my age be eating, and here's what I am eating, you would know potentially if you've been putting the brakes on your metabolism by eating too little for a long time. And that's not to say immediately start to go up to that other number, but it does suggest maybe we need to bump that up. We need to increase the amount of calories you're eating. And the easiest way to do that first is increase protein. There is some evidence to suggest that calories stay the same. If we increase the protein, we improve fat burning. Now, you may need both. You increase the protein and you need to increase your calories. But if those calories do come from protein, you're least likely to store them. So you probably need them if you haven't been getting them. That's where I would go. And I would look at, can you train harder? So you're asking, how do I know if I need to train harder? Training harder would not look like doing another workout, but it would look like, are you reaching muscular fatigue at the every end of every set? If you're not, definitely I would look to doing that. And are you being honest? So sometimes, women can underestimate what they can do by about 40%. 40. That is significant. And here's how we know this. This is how the study was done. They took women, and this was many years ago, but they took women and blindfolded them. So that when they went to the gym, they had a partner. They had a partner who was there, the administrator of the test and or of the experiment. And they set the weight for them. And so they thought that they were lifting the weight they normally do, but they were actually lifting significantly heavier and thought it was the same because that's what they were being told. That's what they assumed. So when they just thought, this is the weight I always lift, it was kind of equal to the effort they always thought it was. They didn't think it was that much harder. So that tells you 40%, right? Now that might not be true for you, but all of us potentially leave something in the tank. We could lift a little heavier when we're alone. We don't work quite as hard. So consider that. And or recovery. So you would have gotten some info from the questions I asked in terms of your energy level, your sleep, if you're not sleeping well, and or your energy level during the days you do or you don't exercise are not good, not wonderful. In fact, they should be pretty good if you've been exercising consistently for almost 6 months. then potentially not recovering well. So look at your diet, your hydration, your sleep, your stress level. So that's all a part of it. And so I haven't been able to answer you exactly because we still would have some detective work to do. And those questions, if you answer them, anyone hearing that should be able to say, in my case, this is what it would be. Okay. Number two, that was a hard question, by the way. I'm postmenopausal. My energy crashes in the afternoon. Should I exercise through it? Should I be resting, changing my nutrition, or is this part of aging? Oh, well, you know, I don't like that answer. So, no, it's not part of aging. And usually in postmenopause, it doesn't always happen at the same timing for everyone, but the energy stabilizes because the hormones have stabilized. You're no longer on a roller coaster. And even though overall they're lower, you're not riding up and down, which is really the hardest thing about it. So, I would look at your nutrition, usually not just the meal before it, so not just lunch, but breakfast. Breakfast and lunch, what are you doing? Right? Are you doing things, so you're starting with high protein, very low carb, because that's set your tone and your blood sugar for the day. And if you're having high carb or too low protein, both of those, or either one by itself, can really sabotage you. So then look at your lunch. And sometimes with lunch, if you're eating high protein, but you're not getting any carbs at all, you want to be sure you introduce some carbohydrates at lunch, some with fiber in them. So good kinds like sweet potatoes or quinoa, if you like that, or brown rice or some berries would be a source, you know, at the end of the meal. But a little bit of carbohydrate as cortisol begins to start dipping down later in the day actually makes really great sense. So we can start offsetting the crash from we don't have the energy hormone, which is cortisol, as high in the afternoon. So we need a little more coming from carbohydrate, but not the rapid kind. So still have carbs at the end of your meal. Choose the good ones and be sure you do have some because they also offer fiber, which helps you keep blood sugar stable and stay full and sated. So you should not crash as much. The other question to ask is, are you staying hydrated? And if not, sometimes by mid-afternoon, you're crashing from that. The worst thing you could do with those afternoon crashes is either reach for a sweet or reach for caffeine. So I would avoid that. Hope that helps. The next question is, I've heard that walking isn't enough anymore after 50. How much walking should I do and when should I prioritize strength training intervals or recovery instead? So you're here because you know strength training is the number one thing you should be doing for your muscle, your metabolism, your brain health, your cognition, your insulin sensitivity, your strength, your independence later, all the things. And walking is wonderful. I think it should be a staple. In fact, I think for me, it's the tipping point when I either fall into or fall out of my ideal feel for fitness personally. It's I'm either walking enough or I'm not. So, you know, that's happened to me both, you know, in the winter here. I have to make a point to go get on the treadmill because I don't like to walk outside more than I have to in the cold. And it's happened to me in the summer in Scottsdale when it's 117 and it's like by 7:30 in the morning, you're like, I missed my opportunity to get outside today. So game over. We'll try again tomorrow. But none of those are great situations. We need to get the movement in. But you want to prioritize moving every day, but that walking can happen a little bit in the morning, a little after your lunch, a little in the evening. It doesn't have to be all at once. And in fact, if blood sugar stabilization and energy are your top priorities and the reasons for doing it, you actually would do better splitting it up. So prioritize your week by planning what days do I put the strength training? And then move your walking around it to complement it. So if your schedule is really tight, you're going to put strength on those days. And maybe that means I'm only able to walk 10 or 20 minutes today because it's a strength training day. Well, you're moving that day, so you're getting a lot of energy output. But on other days, then expand the walking where possible. So here's where you hit the threshold of returns at about 7,000 steps. And after that, is it still beneficial? Yes. But I would say if you've got 7,000 steps, stop. Make sure you absolutely are hitting strength training, agility training, you're getting stability training, and then come back. If you still have time and you have energy for more, then add walking in again. And you can bump those steps up as much as you want. But walking alone is not going to give you agility. It's not going to give you stability. And it's not going to give you mobility. It's not going to give you strength or power. So we have to find ways to work that in. So I hope that that helps. But obviously, strength training should be the first thing you put on your schedule. What days am I best able to do that? Some people have to choose a weekend day and then a one day during the week they can fit it in order to do it around work or other obligations, but whatever that looks like for you. And then you put the walking in daily, like flossing and brushing. Interval training is like icing on the cake. You can do it, but you only need to do one or two times a week for it, starting one time a week for a few weeks just to see how you do. And that workout is 15 to 20 minutes long, period, start to end. And then recovery can include walking. You're not walking when you walk to hit a certain pace or speed. You're just walking to get steps in, to move, to circulate, all the good things. Fourth question here is, I have my bone density scan showed osteopenia. What are the most important exercises I should be doing right now, and what common mistakes could make things worse? The biggest mistakes would be fearing movement and doing less. So do not become less active, but also just be cautious that you're not pouring time and energy into places that would not be beneficial. So the four pillars for resistance training start with number one, resistance exercise. Make sure that you are strength training. We know that even up to a year, starting with light weights, because that's what we all must do to be safe, and progressing to a moderate weight, somewhere around 15 or 16 repetitions, up to 48 weeks, we still increase bone density doing that. There is some evidence that you might plateau after that. Not everyone will, but many people may. And then you'd need to have another stimulus in order to continue growing the bone. But you are not going to plateau in reverse because you're lifting the same weight as long as you continue to reach fatigue. So, important thing to consider. And then number two, so number one, resistance exercise. Number two, jump training. So if you're not able to jump, literally leave the ground and land hard because of incontinence or lack of cartilage or bone degeneration or other things, heel drops, so you're able to stay in contact with the floor, stomping while just marching in place or stomping upstairs also count. And you have to work hard at it. You have to push hard. You have to really stomp. You have to create the heel strike, but those things help. And if you're able to work your way up and do progression, if you're here, jump training is a category inside of the app so that you can work on the bone density on a regular basis. So, osteopenia, by the way, can be reversed if you focus on it. Top two were their resistance training, jump training. Next comes be active, be overall active, up and around and moving and walking. And if you accumulate 300 minutes of movement a week, there is less correlation for you with loss of bone density and osteoporosis. So that's a good thing. And then last but not least, it has been proven that doing yoga, proven by Dr. Lauren Fishman and his 12 daily yoga poses, in a longitudinal study, so over time with the same women and following them, osteoporosis in perimenopause or in postmenopause, I'm sorry. And each on average gained 1% of bone density every year. So we know that even doesn't have to be high impact and doesn't have to be heavy, but I would not put all my eggs in any one basket. I would aim for all of those things. Resistance train twice weekly minimum, total body, do jump training 5 to 7 days a week, four sets of 10 to 20 jumps, and at the level that you will tolerate with no harm to other things, do yoga 12 minutes daily. It's not a lot, and there are probably more like six poses that really do the most good. And make sure you're moving. Every week, get at least 300 minutes accumulated of movement. Next question is, I sleep poorly several nights a week, at least. How should I adjust my workouts when I'm tired? Do I push through, skip, or modify it somehow? So, great question. So, what I would do is suggest modify. You do want to exercise because what you're doing when you get up early in the day and you exercise, even after sleep deprivation, is setting yourself up for sleep that night, making it better. Not exercising potentially makes it even worse. So, important for you to consider. But you would modify so you're no longer doing anything that is risky, meaning really taxes your coordination or your balance or your stability. So leave those things for the days when you are well rested, and on those days when you're not, be safer. Maybe you don't exercise on a treadmill. If you're a little dizzy, you do a walk outside on the ground instead. It's probably a little bit safer. So just think about some of those things that might be tempting to do, but not good and ideal for you today. Last question I'll answer in this one is, I'm eating plenty of protein, lifting weights, and staying active, but the scale won't budge. How do I know whether I should focus on fat loss, muscle gain, or improving my metabolism first? So we're kind of back to the first question, right? So it echoes a little bit. And eating plenty of protein, lifting weights, staying active, but the scale won't budge. So a couple of things. Sometimes a reset is warranted. And if you're a member in the resets, something like the 10-day Hot No Bother Challenge, or cutting back a little bit, I too would send you to the wellness app, the My Progress in flipping50.com, and say, where are your scores? If your energy is low and you're, not like the most energetic woman coming in the room and you're doing all these things, then I would say do a reset. Your hormones may have shifted enough that you are not doing anything wrong, that we just need to move things a little bit like a Rubik's Cube to align things a little bit better. Your body may need a little bit of a reset, a recharge. So sometimes staying consistent is exactly what you should do. And usually that's the case. But every once in a while, you have to be step out of consistency to shake things up a little bit and to get results. So sometimes that's a vacation. I mean, I would also ask, how's your stress level? Is there much? Are you, doing caffeine or coffee? So sometimes even the, no calorie or low calorie things can actually be hurting you. So look at anywhere where you're, having a little alcohol or you're having a little too much caffeine could be challenging for you, and see how you do. And the other thing is tracking, 3 to 5 days, just look at your intake. How much are you taking in? Is it enough? And or is it too much? So there may be a reason why either way could be problematic in terms of storing fat and not allowing you to lose weight. So cycling up and down with calories can also be helped. So you want that metabolic flexibility. So I hope that that was helpful. And that is it for today. So short and sweet, I know, and not a lot of response from anybody, but I appreciate all of you who've asked questions, and so does anybody who's got that same question. And it's very easy to tell where the frustration lies. I get it, but keep trying. It's not over till it's over. And there are a lot of good options for you to look at and do the diving into tracking your progress. Check out the Metabolism Makeover 2.4 or 2.0, I'm sorry. If you're in the membership, that's a great one to review to see how am I doing on all of those. All right. Thank you so much and can't wait to be back together with you again. But next week, if you're listening to these in order, will also be a recording.